34995. Jesus said, I have come
and took the nails for me.
This is Glorious Day, a program that grew from a vision.
A vision to support our brother and sister Christians.
And those who are still seeking Jesus.
By applying God's word to the everyday concerns and challenges that we all face today.
We are two local pastors who love Jesus.
And his people.
And he wants us to strengthen his disciples.
To get stronger, because God's promised revival is on the way.
Welcome to another edition of Glorious Day. This is Pastor David, and I'm with
Pastor Barry.
Yes. And we may sound awake and alive, but we are alive, but where we came into the studio to record tonight, we've all had rough weeks.
Rough, long week.
And
I think,
so,
David, I think it was 9 days this week.
It felt like 9 days.
Possibly
really.
More.
You know, we've all had things going on in our lives, and mm-hmm. certainly much of that is good, but yet it's energy draining.
Mm.
And so we're going to talk more about that, but the theme for tonight is when we are weak. Now, this is an important thing for the church, for Christians to, you know, pray about, talk about. Especially, you know, part of our job, if you will, in this mm-hmm. program is to edify and refresh the church and get us all ready for the coming revival.
That's right.
And God's lifting us up.
Thank God he's lifting us up, because yeah. I don't have the strength to lift both my arms
well,
up.
Well, amen. Amen. And so, you know, because of what goes on in life today, and it's, you know, whatever you have going on in your life, if you have a job, you're working it, it takes energy and time creativity and all that. And if you're, even if you're retired, you know, you have things to do. And as believers, we're living in a world that is where there's some darkness going on in our nation,
mm-hmm.
and there's a lot of that political chaos and the confusion that goes with that, and just all those undercurrents that strike us and grab us and cause us to be, you know, frustrated, and forcing us into prayer, which is not a bad thing to be praying, but the weight of that, the spirit of heaviness that rests today mm-hmm. on the people of God. God's going to usher that spirit out, you know, send it a golden invitation to go into hell and the closed gates behind it.
Mm-hmm.
But right now, we're under a tremendous amount of oppression, and so it takes its toll.
And you know, the evil one stands by waiting.
Yes.
And as we get more and more tired, we get maybe a little lazy and grumpy and all the other things that come along with being exhausted. And that opens the door of opportunity.
It certainly does.
And we need to be aware of that. And we need to pray about that.
We do.
And put on our armor to protect us against that.
And we will probably do a special series on the armor of God
down the road.
Mm-hmm. But tonight, our scripture comes from Paul's second letter to the Corinthians,
mm-hmm.
and it's the 12th chapter. And before I read the verses of particular interest to us tonight,
mm-hmm.
I want to remind you, those who've read the word, that Paul is writing about struggles he's had with some physical illness or disability.
And we're not sure what that is.
We don't really know. He doesn't get specific about it. But whatever it is, he calls it a thorn in the flesh.
Mm.
In fact, he says, a thorn was given me in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to harass me, to keep me from becoming conceited. So in a way, he's saying, you know, it really bugs the heck out of me, but, it keeps me humble.
And it keeps me humble, and it stops me from thinking that in my life, in his life anyway, that he is in complete control.
Yeah,
and that he's strong.
Yeah,
and doesn't need any help.
No. Nope. Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. And we just talked about that.
We did, you know. Mm-hmm. But of course, he realizes he needs God all the time.
All the time, 24/7.
Especially when we're weak. And you know, I admit that I have my moments of weakness. Barry, I know, has admitted that. And if you are honest with yourself,
mm-hmm.
you will admit that you have moments of weakness. And so you need to be listening to these were verses from Paul's letter. It's, again, it's 2 Corinthians 12, and particularly verse 9 through 10.
Mm-hmm.
So listen to these. But and this is what God said to Paul. When Paul basically said, he pleaded with the Lord three times, Barry, that it should leave me, that God would take this thorn in the flesh away from him. But God said to me, he said, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness.
Amen.
And then Paul hears that word. Well, his response is, therefore I will boast all the more gladly of my weaknesses so that the power of Christ may rest upon me. So, and then he says, for the sake of Christ, then, I am content. Now, that's a powerful word. Because of that, I am content with weaknesses, insults, hardships, persecutions, and calamities, for when I am weak, then I am strong. And frankly, Paul is now depicting for us what 21st century Christianity looks like if you're really out there speaking the truth of God, you know, standing on the word of God.
You will experience all of the above.
You will.
If you're doing it right.
If you're doing it right,
you will. If you're wholeheartedly preaching this gospel in not just the sweetest summer days where you're completely surrounded by Christians and everybody's happy and holding hands and singing kumbaya.
Yeah.
Or let's say you're in a situation where you're under attack.
Yeah, yeah. I've never had one of those kumbaya days, or not in a long time.
No.
Yeah, especially not today, you know, these days, no. And that's okay, you know, but I think we need to make note of the revelation here that God gives Paul and that Paul then receives this revelation from God and applies it to his life.
What you said there is interesting. He received it and then he applied it.
Yeah, yeah.
Now, some people may receive it and cogitate on it, or maybe think about it, meditate, or forget it.
Yeah,
it's really in your faith in action.
Yep,
take
exactly.
Something that's almost difficult to process or swallow, and then make something out of it.
Yeah, exactly. Right?
Yeah,
exactly. And you know, because the truth is that we do reach a point where our own physical energies and you know, our passion, our spiritual passions kind of ebb, and of course the answer to that is to go into prayer and the study of word and get filled up again. But we're going to have those days, and again, from our brothers and sisters who are facing what the enemy is doing in our culture, and that just takes a lot of spiritual energy, so for us, and we get tired.
We get sick and tired. I have a story about that where I...
Well, let's tell the story.
I was at one of my weakest moments, and I have a lot of them. The thorn in my side, one of them. I have several, David, that I know about and some I don't even know about. But
yeah,
one of them is diabetes, that when I was diagnosed with it, I didn't know I had it. And for those of you out there who have diabetes, the number 700 or 800 in your glucose reading should raise an eyebrow.
Yeah,
that was how rudely I was introduced to the world of diabetic. Ended up in the hospital, got worse before I got better, had my tour of the intensive care unit. And if you've been through an experience like that, you come out as weak as a kitten. When they say you're better and you can go to a regular room now, you barely have the energy to say yay. And
yeah, right.
I remember them packing me into a wheelchair and taking me to a regular room. And all I wanted to do, David, was just sink into the mattress and stay asleep for a week or two or 10.
Yeah.
And that first night, being away from all the clanging alarms and the noises in the ICU, I went into a deep, deep sleep with all my medications going through the IVs. And though they said I was better, David, I wasn't feeling better. I felt like I had run 10 marathons and hadn't had a glass of water yet, and I was dying. And about 2 o'clock in the morning, if you've been in the hospital, you know they wake you up to give you a sleeping pill.
Yes, they do.
Well, in this case, I was awakened at 2 a.m., but it wasn't a sleeping pill. It was a nurse who put the light on and apologized and said, I see in your chart that you're a pastor. And I said, yeah. And she said, I hate to bother you, but I have some problems and questions I need to address. And a little voice inside me, a powerful little voice, I would say that would be the voice of God, said, sit up and listen.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Suddenly I was, David, I was completely alert and awake, and I had fuel in my tank again.
Yes.
And I listened to her problems, and it was a spiritual problem. It wasn't psychological, it was a spiritual problem.
Mm-hmm.
And she had been away from the church for a long time. Long story short is I spent a good hour and a half in the middle of the night, in the wee hours of the morning, bringing this person back to the cross, bringing this person back to Christ, although she felt unworthy and didn't deserve any attention from God because she had been away for so long. She had her moment.
Yes.
Her tearful moment. You know, and she left the room. And I laid there in the dark thinking, well, isn't that something? And I thought of the scripture that you shared with us just now. I thought about that, David, because that was my strongest moment, and it was in my weakest moment all at the same time.
Yes, yes.
And what's interesting is the next morning the doctor came in the room, and he began to, you know, speak to you as a doctor about your numbers, you know, talking about the numbers. And a woman poked her head in, who I knew from another church, saying, help, help, help. I need a blessing on my sister. She's dying.
Mm.
And I got up. And you know the gowns they make you wear are not flattering. But
no,
I,
none at all.
I grabbed the gown and told the doctor I'll be back. And he said, you can't go. And I said, watch me. And I suddenly felt this old strength come back.
Yeah.
This is not mine.
Right.
And I went in the room and prayed with the dying. And I went home. I was discharged from the hospital. And I never felt that weakness again, David. It's like the Lord said, come work for me. I will equip you.
Amen.
You think it's all over. It's just the beginning. I need you, and come work. And it was in the service to Christ that I was healed.
Yes, yes.
I was healed, and I was regenerated and reinvigorated. And I don't think I ever looked back. Yeah, we have tired days.
Sure.
Yeah, I still get sick. But I'll always remember that, because that was a life lesson taught to me by Christ. You know, get off the pity pot, stand up, and go.
Well, you're really just underscoring what Paul says at the end of the reading that I offered, because what he says is, when I am weak, then I am strong.
Mm-hmm.
Meaning, when I am weak, I can't get in God's way, because there's nothing to put in God's way from my end.
Mm-hmm.
That the Spirit of God then fills us up as He filled you up, and moves through us. We become then a vessel for God's grace to move in the lives of the people we're sent to.
Mm-hmm.
And that, to me, that tells me that we need to, when we think of ministry and the call on our lives, we need to be aware that we might as well just get out of the way.
Amen. Amen. There's a story I just saw online. I'm sure it's true because it was online, David.
of course.
It was a story about the Pope, Francis.
Okay.
Back in Argentina, when he was a young man, I think we all know that he was a bouncer in an Argentine bar. That's what he did before he went to college. I'd like to mix it up a little bit, I guess. And went to college, and he had a career plan, had a girlfriend. And his story is amazing. His calling was amazing because he was in control of his life. We can all laugh now. He was in control of his life and strong young man. And he had flowers in one hand and a ring box in the other, heading toward his girlfriend's house. We all know it was about to happen, right?
Yep.
Mm-hmm. And on the way there was a church with a door open, and he peeked inside. And a very, very fragile, older, sickly-looking priest was at the front of the church in a pew, waving for Francis to come in. And he had never recognized or met this priest before. And the reason was, the priest was from out of town, but the hospice in that city was located next to the church. He was a hospice patient in the process of dying. And the Lord touched his heart and said, I want you to get up from your sick bed and go to church and hear confessions. Now, we don't know what he said. He might have looked up and said, are you kidding me? I'm a hospice patient.
Right.
But he managed to get himself dressed and go to the church, and he yelled out the door to Francis, I'm here to hear your confession. And Francis said, I have nothing to confess. And he says, I beg to differ. And he came and introduced himself, and lo and behold, he began to talk to this old man. And he did share some doubts and some things going on in his heart. And the Lord struck him down that day with eye-opening vision and told him, I want you to be a priest. You're not going to get married. You're going to be a priest. And it was so powerful, and he was so shaken that he threw the flowers away, obviously. Maybe pawned the ring, I don't know. But he broke up with the girlfriend. We don't know. Don't know the details. But the story is not about Francis. It's about that priest that was so ill. We don't know if he had cancer, whatever it was.
It was terminal illness, whatever.
It was a terminal illness, but the Lord got him out of bed, gave him the strength to walk around the block, to sit up, stand up, and speak. Now, could he have done that on his own? I seriously doubt it. Because David, you and I are both chaplains, and we both work with these types of situations.
That's right.
And think of the sickest person that you were dealing with, and imagine them standing up, showering, getting dressed, comb your hair, and go over to the church. But he was able to do all this stuff because of what God gave him, that spirit, that strength, that power.
Yeah.
And we see how the world has changed a little bit. Here's this man who is about to propose, who we all know eventually became Pope.
Right. Yeah.
So lives were changed, and there was a plan.
Definitely.
And the Lord had a plan, and it's funny who God uses, David. You scratch your head and say, why didn't he use that healthy priest that's been seen jogging around the block every other day? And why didn't he pick? No, he chose this person for a reason. We don't know what that reason is. Perhaps he was just a humble soul, or maybe he was a very obedient soul. We don't know.
Well, I would say both, because to be willing to say in his infirmity, yes, Lord, I'll do that. And I'm not sure how, but God said, don't worry about it. I got that covered.
Yeah.
And that's that one example then really applies to any of us, because if you're a child of God and you know the Lord, and you also then know that you're called into his service, we don't always know what that's going to look like. I know basically what my gifts are and how my ministry is being applied, in many places, but neither Barry, neither you nor I, nor our listeners are going to know completely in every instance how God is going to use us, to whom he's going to send us, or who is going to send to us.
Right.
Order to reach out, to bring a message, a care, a God's love, whatever God wants them to have. And sometimes, a loving slap upside the head, right?
I'm glad that you chose that. I have other expressions.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, this is a family radio
show.
That's
right.
But, it's, but it is because in those moments, God wants us to speak the truth in love. We talked about that in another program, but speak the truth in love. Mm-hmm. And sometimes when we get an idea of what God wants us to do or to say, and if our humanity gets in the way, for instance, we might say, well, Lord, could I say it differently? Because if I say it the way you want me to, I'm going to get in trouble.
They're going to get mad at me.
They're going to get mad at me.
They don't like me anymore.
No. And, they'll throw desiccated vegetables at me or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
But in fact, if you get out of the way, seeing God will let us get weak. He'll let me argue. He will.
Oh, yeah.
Like Paul was arguing, you can read in between the lines. Paul wanted this infirmity, physical infirmity, out of the way. So in his view, he could minister for God better.
But, you and I both know people in the ministry business, pastors, preachers, and such, that have all kinds of physical or even psychological limitations.
Yeah.
And yet they're out and about doing the work.
Absolutely.
Because God's grace is sufficient. What's funny is when the Lord told Paul that, I wonder how many times he had to tell him, because who knows if it was a month later, a year later, he's in chains in his cell, with the rats chewing on his toes and whatever else was going on, where they had to come back to this conversation again. Look at me, Lord, I'm a mess.
Yeah.
Nope, we're going to keep going here, Paul. And Paul was that Energizer Bunny.
Yes.
Not because Paul was a Superman. Paul was, like we just talked about, he was open to the Lord telling him no.
Yeah, exactly.
And most people, when they hear no from the Lord, get bitter, angry. What I love about this is Paul turned on a dime. He turned on a dime. He didn't continue the argument.
No. At some point, he realized he was not going to win.
Yeah. Gee whiz. What wisdom, huh?
Yeah. But because of his infirmity, it sounds like that, you know, the infirmity itself was physically challenging for him.
Mm-hmm.
And he had to work harder to do what he had to do.
Right.
Whatever it was. And we might not have physical infirmity, but there are other things that eat away at our physical energy and our emotional abilities, our mm-hmm. emotional energy, so that, you know, we don't like that.
No, we don't. Well, we expect more of ourselves because we all believe we have this supernatural inner strength outside of God.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, I talk to any marathoner. And they'll tell you that, you know, it's not really the beginning or middle of the race that's challenging. It's the last 2 miles or the 2/10 of a mile or 6/10 of a mile
yeah.
where they have this, they call it a reserve.
Right.
I have a reserve because I'm a professional. I know what I'm doing.
Yeah.
And, you know, and that's so blatant because it's so wrong. We don't have a reserve. There's no spare gas tank. I look like I have a gas tank in the back, but I don't. That's not. that's good eating. But
yeah,
I'm just
yeah,
telling
yeah.
you, David. Yeah. We fool ourselves, and God is so patient and so forgiving, and
yeah.
So it's a good thing I'm not God.
Well, I tend to agree.
Yeah, thank you, David.
I mean, I'd see the same for me. It's better. For others that I'm not going.
There's another story that happened hundreds of years ago when the Spanish first came to America. They sent missionaries. There were little missionaries all over the place in little brown robes running around, you know, putting crucifixes on all the Indians saying, this is what you're going to do, you know.
Yeah.
And the Indians would watch these fellas when they were saying mass in the woods or out in the field or near a river. And they watched the actions of their hands and they would see them making the sign of the cross or doing all these different maneuvers behind an altar. And, you know, they didn't know what it was.
Yeah.
They didn't know why they were doing it, but they perceived it to be some type of powerful magic.
Ah.
And so they didn't like this magic because it was contradictory to what they were believing in and doing at the time. So they captured them and broke all their hands.
Ooh.
They took rocks and broke all the bones in their hands. And they threw them in a little teepee. Next thing you know, they're out doing the same thing, just using their arm or their elbow, whatever they could use. They could not stop them.
Mm-hmm.
And after many months of torture, they realized there is a power. They didn't understand who it was, but there was a power behind this.
Mm, yeah.
And that these guys were still able to do what they needed to do to have church. Over and over we see again in the world, David, you and I both, how people do amazing supernatural feats.
Yes.
And they'll come out and say, they'll point up.
Yeah. You know,
they're pointing up. It's not me. Yeah, I know this looks amazing, but it's not me. And I respect them for that because they're honest.
Absolutely.
And true to God.
And that's the message, I think, the core of the message we want our listeners to capture for themselves.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because if you're a believer, you're listening to this program, God is calling you to go out from wherever you are, out from your church, out from your home, out from your job, or when you're out just being who you are and where you are,
right.
God wants to use you. And when he calls you, and you may not be in tip-top shape.
Mm-hmm.
And in fact, God may be having sent you out knowing that you're not in tip-top shape. And yet, that's the moment. He's going to impart his spirit to you for service, for ministry. And you're going to touch someone. He's going to touch someone's life through you because you don't have anything to bring to the table.
Amen. And that's where his glory is shown.
Amen.
That's his glory. And I think that people just need to realize in their weakest moments, it is time to look up.
Yeah.
Don't look in, look up.
Absolutely.
And when you look up, you just say, Lord, I trust you. Refill me. Use me as you will.
That's the thing, and especially today, in a way, if you're a believer, it's harder
mm-hmm.
in some ways.
Right.
Because the enemy is being pushed back. And God is pushing the enemy back. You know, God wins, right? The devil loses, and he loses horribly.
Oh, yeah.
And so he's losing today. We might not see that yet in the natural.
Right.
But in the spiritual realm, God is has been warring against the enemy. The angel armies have been pounding the you-know-what out of them and driving them back. And the structures that the devil has set up, and at least I'm going to speak now about America because that's where we are, those structures are crumbling. May not see it right now. If you look hard, you can see some things changing, showing the crumbling. But the attacks, the oppression on believers is still very strong. It's going to tire you out. But it's going to be at that moment when you feel least able to do anything for God that he probably is going to call you to do something or say something.
That's right.
Reach out a helping hand to somebody. And we want you to be prepped. So how do you do that? You pray, you study your word, you submit to God. You know, what Paul, reading between the lines of what we just read to you from 2 Corinthians chapter 12, Paul had submitted himself fully to God so then he could be of service to God. And we're running out of time, Barry.
Already?
Yeah, I know. We just started. But
I just woke up.
Yeah, well, I know. Let's talk about being, we're both, as we said, had a very busy weeks. Very busy. But would you have enough energy to pray for our listeners right now before we say goodbye?
Amen to that. Sure I will. It's a privilege and an honor. Holy Father, I pray for all those listeners right now that feel like they've run out of their last drop of energy. Perhaps they've been worn down by disease, by bad relationships, by worry, by money worries, whatever has got them down, right down to the last wire, the last tether, the last little string. I pray that each person that feels that way will take a moment, an honest moment, to look up and say, Lord, I'm done, I'm empty. I'm asking you to revive me. Decrease me even more if you have to, and increase your will and your word and your power in me. Use me in any way you see fit. And Lord, I thank you for my weakness, because in my weakness I recognize your greatness.
Amen.
I recognize your power. I recognize just how much you can do if we just submit ourselves to you. So Lord, I ask for a blessing over everybody out there tonight. Bless you with peace, bless you with joy, bless you with health and safety. And Lord, help them sleep tonight, at least 8, 9, 10 hours, okay?
There you go.
A good night's sleep, refreshed in the morning, ready to go and do your work and share your word. God bless you all. Good night.
Good night. Thanks, Barry.
You're welcome, sir. Join us again next Sunday at 5:30 a.m. and 5:30 p.m.
Diving deep with us into God's holy word,
that we might all be encouraged, strengthened, edified,
and receive renewed hope that the Lord is on the move
and his perfect plan is unfolding in our time.